The first step to understand this methodology is you have to get close to that edge where you say their name. But which names do you say? Which names do you not say? How to say the safest? When you can't process information well, when you're just living in the moment and can't hold the thought, do the steps of a higher level thinking, which is to make a decision for safe, but also how to stay true to a methodology that I don't know if it exists, but the closest I understand it to be is prolonged exposure therapy from Musan Song at UIC in Chicago, United at University of Illinois, who did the neuropsychological testing and was open. Yes, let me see what you're creating. And she said, this is prolonged exposure therapy. She saw the YouTube video. I need to speak to her about the parameters of her testing because I questioned if I'm supposed to respond to a 6 month, if I felt depressed and what that means. Because when you say words like that, when you don't have a definition that is the same for both parties, then that does really jeopardize the authenticity since it's so subjective. So we have to have a universal language of what that means across the board. And what I found amongst these doctors is it really doesn't exist. There's a clinical definition, but it's really based on their judgment in the end. And when they are, I don't say biased, but when they're motivated to put all the onus on the patient, when the patient's saying, stop, this behavior is wrong. It's creating the anxiety. If you're calling me chronically anxious, it's because I had to have another appointment with you and I don't trust that you're writing accurate medical records, which is similar to the inaccurate reporting of violence in a school that was having high incidence every day, multiple times a day in every class, beginning on day one when the student overturned the desk in September, to promoting and pretending like it's not happening. So that's denial. Ultimately, it's also betrayal of the federal rights that are given to these students. I'm talking about kids with special needs, kids with disability in a public school, and abandonment of your own morality. All right. That's the word I'm looking for. This goes back to moral, to know right from wrong, but also to realize when you make a mistake, how do you fix it? And that emotional bit that makes it very hard for people to accept that mistake because their mind pops up and says, I don't want to be held responsible because there's a financial burden, perhaps, an embarrassment or shame burden, perhaps. But we need to get over that if we really want to tackle our mental health issues because the survivor, victim, patient is the one taking the bulk of the shame, humiliation, and it really should go back to the principle because we know what happens to people that can and not be independent and have to depend on others, like kids with special needs who financially are dependent, emotionally dependent, they get taken advantage of. Absolutely. And that shame and humiliation is another level. All right, that word refers to people in technology because there seems to be a trend or connective thread both in media, but also a financial advantage in a way. And my Neptune's previous garden will speak to that because I can't unhear his words, especially when he went to Vegas and broke the bro code. I thought whatever happened in Vegas stayed in Vegas. And that's why my body has been in shock. And when you're in survivor mode, because there's abuses, emotional, physical, and more, you are constantly on alert because what you hear and see can mean you will make it through the night, through the day, whatever. It's survival. That is something we all share. All right, thank you.
The biggest hurdle in ending PTSD is getting ahead of the constant noise and distraction. And with chronic pain that reverberates, one really does have to physically recover. Since mid-January, there has been a significant diminishing of that reverberating pain, which creates the anxiety of not wanting to have head symptoms. Since when my neck gets stiff, my back, neck, shoulders goes right into my head to increase the already distracting nerve pain across my face. I know because I talked out the left side of my mouth. I even have a pretty big canker sore, but it's sort of something that formed because I wasn't talking symmetrically. And there are some photo evidence of this taken at a friend's wedding in Michigan where I was securing the worst, this smile, half smile, the repetitive, inefficient.
I'm listening to this and I realize this doesn't really make sense. So I balance the asymmetrical smile, which was a word Neptune's previous garden used to describe fashion, but that's fine. That makes sense. But over and over and over again, it's like talking about it one time makes you an expert. And this is the next step in better policies, better behaviors that help people. You have to read and you have to interpret it correctly. It's their interpretation. Once you acknowledge, wait, did you do that? Once you call them out and say, wait, did you understand this? Did you take the time to read this? What is your understanding of it? And they share their understanding and it's like, what? Oh my God. Anyway, the half smile was a technique that the facilitators Katie used often, and she just wanted us to smile. Just make it better. There you go. There's your mental health solution. And you can't smile, but the funny thing is once I started smiling, like, you can't stop. The problem with this is they took their time. They would spend 20, 30 minutes, waste the entire half hour, then we have to go through and talk about how we're trying to smile. It's so silly. So not just taking a photo of my crooked smile, talking out of the left side of my mouth at a rapid speed, which I'm pretty sure a lot of these specialists remember. And if I slowed down, this thing would happen with
with my voice? And I'd say, yeah, because I'm having more face pain. Going quickly helps, just like when I packed up this person's stuff and did all this wedding planning and made things, my hands were going, my hands were going rapidly. Same thing in the IEP meeting. I was typing so fast. So it'd be like, why? How could she have chronic pain? But that was the symptom of it. That's something that specialists really need to know. Plus a heightened anxiety from not having the voice to say stop to the healthcare provider. So I just had to be honest about all of my symptoms and hope that they wrote it down accurately, that they heard things correctly, but it wasn't accurate. Chicago Union told me, because they would read back the reports and say there's so many inconsistencies here. So I know what's in the report, just inaccurate. Or just narratives that we've already heard about people with mental health problems, like cutting, burning, self-harm. No, I didn't report any of that, and yet I found it in the reports. How could I do that? I had siblings that would have noticed, and I had a sister that would walk in on me on the bathtub. There's no way. I had very observant people around me growing up that would have noticed those differences immediately, and they were very vocal. That's how and why I'm so appreciative. I was able to live vicariously through them and not make some of the same mistakes and learn because of the lessons they provided. So that would be the describe the triggers. What are your triggers? Well, it's confronting people that aren't professional and don't realize that when you do a bad job in this space, it can really mess up people's lives. In addition to domestic violence, which I understand a lot more now. So there is one great place, the Trauma Recovery Center, through Advocate Aurora. It's faith-based. You don't need a referral. You don't need insurance to go. I can recommend them. They are knowledgeable. They listen. And they do respond positively to difference and disability. Not just in the words that sound empathetic, but in the actual behaviors that show me willing to adapt, you're willing to assess your own understanding when something's a little strange and do so until you understand. And that really is the point. Too many people just act dumb. And that is the origin of Dumb Dumb, because that's Elias Estrada. He used to write E2 on his email responses. Dumb Dumb, hum hum, humiliation. Humiliation of his students, knowing what happens when you're dependent on others. Okay, and that's tech. That's the C for tech. Don't forget.
Inefficient, stigmatizing because it's not genuine. Facilitation of CBT, DBT at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. If this was a free space to learn about ways to assist in the inability to manage emotions, behaviors, and thoughts that just are contenta on continual replay, then fine. But it wasn't. They charge a lot an hour, because I saw what they charge. And then they reduced that hour to 45 minutes, which is kind of like shrinkflation. And I talked to people there who'd been there for decades, I'm not kidding, and said it's actually the same thing. They did not change up anything, and they're using worksheets and ideas, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with older ideas and worksheets, but if it's not effective and it's clear that they're just wasting time trying to get through their 45 minutes with harming people, and then
but what is wrong is when it's the same facilitator and she literally is taking pride in the fact she's been there for so long and now confirmed that she's done nothing to change. And then I ask her before I learned this, because I noticed things were a little strange, just not effective, and people were complaining, and I watched it with my own eyes and thought, this is horrible. And I said, would you like some feedback? And she walked away without responding. So I thought, well, this is a strange place. But I just come out of RIC, Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago, for chronic pain management, and it kind of was similar. They had given me a warning, so I already was aware, and that's why I think I survived this. If I wasn't aware, I'd still be stuck on their words that they're trying to help, and just there's no resources. It's so hard to manage this. It's not, if you have the right people.
And then the feedback from the individuals there, since I was moving very slowly and I would literally move super slow outside of the room and people noticed, and the motivation to talk to them, because as a school teacher, I'm assessing constantly. It's something I could not undo, unsee a behavior that I've learned automatically. It dawned on me very early on that to make a better program, already a bit questioning it, when the neurologist who sent me there said, this program's really hard to get into. I've heard good things, when the attendance was barely 2-3 people every week. One way to get people to show up was to give them a food voucher, which is part of the homeless advocacy, and what I learned through motivation to get people to do things that aren't the best, but they're willing to sit there and take it for lunch. They ended up closing this food voucher program, which were reasons for many people to stop coming, because it wasn't effective treatment. Instead of being negative about the places that do harm, I also want to elevate the places that do a really good job. Science-based, faith-based, research, good facilitation, good delivery, and those are the spaces, places that should get the majority of funding, because the reality is throughout the connective thread to all these places, whether it's education, healthcare, charities, and companies, is the feedback. Are they willing to take feedback from people? And looking online, having that PTSD moment rise up where I either live or die, the decision was always to share. So I wrote it. And then I found out my reviews were taken off. And if that's because they have the money to do so, that goes back to Neptune's previous guardian, who made money their number one priority. At the same time, trying to paint a picture of difference and, I don't want to say discrimination, but being treated differently throughout our entire time together. So the purpose of this relationship was to remove Neptune and to give him the chance to be a cat, not a scaredy cat. And the stories people use. The repetitive nature of these stories on replay is them getting it out. And everything that has helped me recover is due to them. The goal of this project is to change policies and make sure that people are forewarned. If you take advantage of the most vulnerable at-risk population, which in a public school were my students, with special needs, then you don't get to play the game anymore because it's a lot of money. And if money is your priority above all else, then what are you willing to do in the moment thinking that as long as you terrorize the person or people you know what triggers them, then that's a really, well, that's just going to harm our mental health goals even more. Going back to the beginning, I had to just focus on the best memories popping up, and they were the reminders of charity. My family giving to purposes, causes, both time, money, energy, and also just friendliness, acceptance.
As I listen to this, that sounds pretty cheesy, but the reality is in the darkness, those were the memories that got me through suicide, and I think it's similar to other people. And I showed kindness to others, and they gave me feedback, and that feedback is how I formed advocacy and how I never lost faith. When does somebody decide to take their life, or the first time they end up sleeping on the street and they give up? We have way too much potential inside of us and experience, wisdom. We're the smartest animals. We can adapt and evolve. What we have inside of us can truly change the world for the better. That's not speaking as a school teacher, but someone who has had the experience. And like I said, I wasn't supposed to see behind the scenes of some of these places, but I did. And I think that's super significant.
I never thought I'd share this story. It's not ideal for me to describe and let others visualize, positions of weakness and sexual non-consent, because people enjoy that stuff. It's obvious. And that's when the French Revolution popped up, and the sensationalism and brutality that exists within us, and the desire. And the very necessary, the need to know that there is another choice. You can get the same sensation from sitting quietly, reflecting, staring out at a naturalistic, pastoral, idyllic scene, which I gained staring out over the hilltops of Northumbria when I began to dream of tartan sheep. That means sheep, their wool with a tartan pattern, which is Scotland. And I followed my dreams, literally. I know this because I had the same dream over and over after violence done to me decades ago. And one day it changed. I was aware in my dream. I was being chased in this empty white mall. And one day I decided to leave the mall, and this bright light appeared. And I never had that dream again. It gave me, resiliency. It gave me confidence to know that everything, no matter how bad it is, has a purpose. I don't have to do the poetry, "Oh, you're not worthless anymore. The safest space." I'm gonna use this energy, this adrenaline, to get through my office and digitize a paper trail in spaces I created from the energy, love, and hope that going online and Facebook, because I met Eugene Lipoff at City Hall, who talked about the need to create a state-of-the-art, revolutionary, brand new, all comprehensive program for veterans and their PTSD, which was surgical, medical, supportive, emotional, holistic, and required money to do so. But it really was a business. So when people talk about philanthropy and business together, I would question them. I think we've gone through enough historical evidence to know that people will take advantage of those that are suffering and in pain, begging for money and hoping to end whatever drama they're in. Drama is the new word for trauma, because I'm removing that from the vernacular because it's overused. We're desensitized to it and doesn't help us when we're trying to understand how to end trauma using descriptive words, because you do have to describe it. You have to isolate the sensory, identify if it's visual, auditory, tactile, olfactory, taste, and I guess those are the senses, yeah. And they're gonna be different for everyone. But as a special educator, 12 years in Chicago public schools, I keep saying that because I remind myself, I'm not gonna work for a company that abuses kids and can change the narrative. But this is a common practice amongst people When they can't deflect, distract, emote, blame others, get threatening, they claim mental health, and that's the difference. I met people with real mental health issues that needed supports that were pleading to Northwestern Memorial Hospital facilitators, and they did not do anything but do the exact same thing, regurgitate just bullcrap. And I'm offended because I'm watching it, and I'm a school teacher, so my special skill is creating lesson plans, assessments, and then making qualitative data quantitative so I can make decisions using true measurements of how to proceed when you have behavioral issues instead of just calling a kid low or talking about there's no resources. I don't believe that. What we have inside of us, our own knowledge of being here, if you're on a smartphone, if you're in a position where you're not on the streets, where you have food access every day and you're not worried about starvation, you are dreaming of a future, you have resources to connect with when you have those lows, you are able to get online.
So
the most vulnerable class popped up, and to me they were the homeless population. And getting to know them in my neighborhood on my way to Northwestern Memorial Hospital, I learned a lot. And I want to make sure I say thank you. Who has boundaries of ethical morality? Whoa. And who is faking it? Because with this information, you too can end any drama that comes your way. And also, you might come across someone you really like, but they have trauma and you want to help them. Because this story is ultimately about true love, true charity, true hope, true faith, true community, true collaboration. Meaning that you don't have to doubt it and you can be yourself knowing that nobody will take advantage. I didn't realize I had a target, just being nice, being kind, being open. And that's why the first group of people I spoke to practice talking after, homeless, saying hi to dogs, and then, like I said, these charities, were coffee shop baristas, because I was dropping the seed for Writer Coffee. And also Panera Bread, their subscription, coffee subscription, helped me get out of my house every day and memorize coffee orders, because a true friend is going to know how you like your coffee.
Having that thought every morning was removing the fact the student was saying no friends as they're about to pummel themselves. And then all these adults around me talking about how they have no friends. I'm like, okay, I don't think I want to be your friend exactly, but I understand. It just was constant. So I am confident when I'm saying that mental health issues because of a lack of friendship or not understanding how to create, maintain, or how do you treat people, or how do you stand up for treatment that you know is better treatment than what you're getting as a friend. And that was my social group. That's the second curriculum I created in the classroom. Oh, and don't forget, it's also Friends of Elcott, because they visited me in the storage room. So they were totally aware that this is inappropriate because they're fighting so hard for a better grading scale and to remove teachers that actually grade the science and the writing teacher. Because in Chicago, you have to test to get into high school, and there's only so many good ones that are the next step to college. Oh, and let me not forget the person who requested a small family wedding because of no friends in comparison to the wedding of the century. And that's why I do have to write that scene. So I kept thinking, these are the people you want as friends. Oh my goodness. And then Vegas. Don't forget Vegas. I'm so sick of these triggers, reliving them. This is working. This is the pre-writing, the getting it out, so then you can sit with it when you write, because it's the tactile. I got this. All right, I'm going to listen to this stuff. I'm going to edit it more, add more visuals, upload, get rid of it on the computer, in a way document it online, and then do what I really want to do, which I know I'm very good at, believe it or not, but write.
Because I would get them their coffee, and I would always add a little more sugar, a little more cream, and that was the conversation, because I would never treat myself like this. As I relive some of those conversations when I drop the best words on the best people, I want to start with that female CEO that I met, and for the first time, business was no longer something that seemed completely out of my reach because of the people I encountered in business. They just are not good, and I guess I did associate their behavior characteristics with everyone in business, and I avoided it. That was my, you know, decades a long ago brain, which wasn't fully formed and understanding and the fear. And that is what my, Neptune's previous guardian knew about. Whenever I say Neptune's previous guardian, I get flashbacks, and that's why I will never say their name.
Ever.
Ever. Because they were very clear with their threat. If you talk about this, I'm going to kill you. Tell the police, you're dead.
So you have to get close to that edge where you get say their name. But which names do you say? Which names do you not say? How to say the safest?
When you ever. Ever. Because they were very clear with their threats. And when you're that specific with if-then statements, strategy I use with my students, hey, if we do a worksheet, then you get to choose a break of your preference. You know, however I would state it, but I really don't want to go back into teaching. Those people who I encountered along my life as a professional teacher remember me. And I just ask that if you have my writing in the IEP, did you keep it or did you get rid of it?
Did you ever read it? Did you ever look at it?
And this time I caught it. That's not going to solve the problem of PTSD or trauma or writing. I just have to dive right in. This happens all the time where an idea pops up and it's a wild goose chase. I don't have to rely on them, nor should I. I just want to know, how much did you care? Because that's the constant thinking. Nobody cares. Nobody lets me speak. Those generalizations. And when you start to hear those things a lot, that's why this wedding is on replay, because I created it based on all the trauma. Like, I had this relationship, because when you travel, who pays? Just like at the dinner table at a restaurant, I said, I'll pay. And they never said it again. When you notice that your behaviors and your actions can stop behaviors and actions you really don't want to hear anymore, you feel powerful. And I don't know why. Is that a thing in psychology? Could someone explain it to me? Because I want these memories to let me go.
When we were driving up this dirt road, when we made the turn, this person changed. I didn't know what was going on, because the year is 2009, 10, 11, 12. Mental health was different back then. Technology was different back then. The laws about drug use and legality were different back then. And the stories, oh my gosh, told to me, I just can't not share it, because I think a lot of people do what you guys did. And it's going to cause a lot of mental health and a lot of wasted time and energy when we don't have that much time on earth anyway. So your threats of me telling the story, you're going to kill me, fine.
Okay,
do it. And I guess this is the end of no fear.
Just make it better. There you go. There's your mental health solution.
And you can't smile. But the funny thing is, once I started smiling, like, you can't stop. This is the end of no fear. This was difficult, but I feel really great about it. I'm no longer triggered and having to use the internet, like Twitter, like Instagram. Instagram was the first to get archived, thank goodness. Where it's not a container for their PTSD, their suicide, as it rises up in my body. And now for, I think, 2 or 3 days, I've been practicing transitioning to going back to my life, because I did promise myself, if I get my voice back, I will use it for good. That's in the only way that I know as a school teacher. If I learn something new, I'm going to share it so that you too can take the knowledge, because this knowledge is not something unique to me that I get to keep and have the best life ever. I want to give it to you free of charge, because that's the oath I took. But also, I would not have come to these conclusions without the people around me who take advantage. They're doctors, they're judges, they're people in positions of power, and they're scary. But like I said, when you look at it, our life is so insignificant on the time span of human existence. I just know that without the very people, my family, whose voices bubbled up to keep speaking, without them, I would not be here today. You have to thank the people that have helped you. And those are the groups that I've talked about repeatedly. It's not that strange when you think about it, but veterans, the elderly, trees, dirt, history. I mean, it's abstract to talk like this. Or is it just the beginning of the sentences I need to start? Or is it just the beginning of the first paragraphs that I hope to write today?
Because it is the people that had some quirky interest in something and learned it and then taught us, so we don't have to go figure out a worm's anatomy. Somebody else did it. Just read about it. Explore it on your own. And those questions in science, when you're observing and wondering, what's that about? This is the human condition. This is our human nature.
Right, today, Sunday, March 10th, 2024. And as the adrenaline rises up, that's when we're working on and moving my body to go through the paper trail, digitize it, and throw things away. Because I started tossing stuff out all the time. It was like stuff was on fire. I realized, nope, I better hold on to this, because nobody's gonna believe it when they are acknowledging that a little bit of predatory behavior is in all of us.
It's our survival, our endocrine system. Eat or be eaten.
And like I said, the only thing I know is to fight for policy changes. And because of Stuart Mill Hall,
yes,
on liberty, I can't do it. Just Google it. It's technology now. You can just Google it. John Stuart Mill. Oh, gosh.
So I'm going to let everything I knew before go. And if it's important, it will come back. And if I can't totally remember, I can Google it, because I left my notes online. I just know that what helped me were their words. So I'm going to have to repeat them to help others. So I'm telling the story.
I'm done with it.
And I'm not smart enough to layer it in. I'm just not smart enough to layer it. It has to be verbatim. If that's the purpose of, if that's the purpose of traumatic brain injury, then so be it.
While staying true to the methodology, because the words of the abuser was the one that helped me. I wish I could give you some sort of impact, an equal impact to the trauma that removed it. And that's all that I'm doing. The visualization was a wall that was being built as I run around a track, watching it being built, not ready to go full speed into it because the impact was blunt force trauma that caused the destabilization of my neck and head. And that totally makes your body off kilter when other muscles, big muscles, are not working. The neurological, neuromuscular connection is gone. So little muscles are trying to do the work and they get fatigued. That's what chronic pain is. So I'm working really hard at removing those facet joint, the nerve spasms, whatever, muscle spasms, the nerve pain, and again, going back to every resource, Eastern and Western medicine, that has helped. And asking, do you want to be part of the story? Because I'm about to write that review, because writing is my objective. Writing letters, the original plan with Eugene Lipoff, just slightly different. Going back to what I know, people in positions to make decisions over the most at-risk and vulnerable have a vote. And that, again, is our democratic tradition where I live. Okay, thank you. Jeez, oh, Pete. Okay.